Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Bunnell, for the introduction. My name is Benjamin Pease. I'm a graduate student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and today I'm presenting nitrogen effects on quality of velvet bent grass grown on sand and soil putting greens. My co-authors are Mr. Eric Kurtz, Dr. John Steyer, and Dr. Doug Soldat. Interest in the use of velvet bent grass, Grassus canina, as a putting green surface has increased over the past decade due to claims that it requires lower fertility, lower water inputs, and lower fungicide to achieve the same quality as creeping bent grass. Such claims that velvet is better adapted and more stress tolerant than creeping bent grass at lower inputs have been shown. Scogli in 1975 found that when mature, velvet thrives at lower annual fertility rates than creeping and is actually harmed by over-fertilization. Also, when managed correctly, velvet bent grass presents excellent disease tolerance. Costa and Wang in 2006 found that velvet exhibited lower soil water depletion and higher water use efficiency than creeping and colonial bent grasses. Murphy et al. In 2008 found velvet bent grass to provide a better quality turf under wear and compaction stress, and it also better outcompeted Poa annua invasion. In the United States, velvet is currently in use in the Pacific Northwest areas and the Northeast coastal areas because it seems that velvet prefers an acidic soil and the temperate climates of those areas. For the work I'm presenting today, our hypothesis was that velvet bent grass, when grown on neutral or slightly basic soils, will achieve higher quality ratings when acidifying fertilizers are used. To test this hypothesis, a couple of objectives were outlined. The first was that soils in the Midwest, since they're mostly around neutral pH, we chose four fertilizers of differing acidifying levels to determine their agronomic effects on the quality of velvet bent grass. And second, from these fertilizers in rates, we wanted to develop sustainable fertility management practices for velvet bent grass grown in the Midwest. This trial was conducted on two different root zones. One, a USGA spec green 80-20 sand to peat mixture with a pH of 7.8. And the other was a native silt loam soil green with a pH of 7.0. The greens were seeded with Vesper velvet bent grass on August 7, 2006, and grown in that fall and the next spring. Experimental treatments began in June of 2007 with our annual nitrogen rates split into 14 foliar applications applied at 814 liters of water per hectare. Maintenance mimicked actual Midwest golf course operations. We mowed six times weekly at 4 millimeters height. Top dressing occurred once a month, and irrigation was supplied on the sand green for 75% ET replacement and the soil green at 60% ET replacement. Experimental design was a randomized complete block design with four replications. The treatments were four nitrogen sources, and they are listed here in decreasing order of acidity or calcium carbonate equivalent. CCE is the kilograms of calcium carbonate needed to match the basicity of 100 kilograms of the fertilizer offset the acidity of 100 kilograms of the fertilizer. Ammonium sulfate has the highest CCE of 110 kilograms calcium carbonate, followed by urea with 84 and ammonium nitrate with 59. And calcium nitrate actually has residual basicity activity with 100 kilograms of that fertilizer equaling 20 kilograms calcium carbonate. Each of the fertilizer types were applied at three annual nitrogen rates of 49, 146, and 243 kilograms per hectare. Data was collected weekly. Quality was visually rated on a 1-9 scale, with 9 being perfect turf and 5.5 being the lowest acceptable value. Chlorophyll index was measured using a CM1000 operated at the height of about a meter. And shoot density was collected three times per year with the device seen in the top left photo. We took three plugs per experimental unit. counted the shoots in them, and then averaged to determine shoot density. Clipping yield was collected weekly using a walking greens mower, and ball roll was measured using a modified stimp meter, but for time purposes will not be presented today. Shown here are the fertilizer rate and type effects for the sand root zone in 2009. The 2008 data are not shown because the results were similar. On the y-axis we have quality on the 1 to 9 scale, and on the x-axis we have our three fertilizer rates. The dashed line shown shows the lowest acceptable value of 5.5. This was used in lieu of the usual 6.0 because we're managing these greens as a low input turf, and we deemed it acceptable to slightly lower the quality expectations. The differences between fertilizer types were rather interesting. Ammonium sulfate and urea produced the significantly higher quality ratings than calcium nitrate. The low and middle rates of 49 and 146 kilograms per hectare were simply too low for any type of fertilizer to provide acceptable putting green turf quality, and that was evident in both years. The high rate of 243 kilograms per hectare, we see acceptable value, acceptable quality ratings from the two most acidifying fertilizers, ammonium sulfate and urea. Calcium nitrate never produced an acceptable putting green turf grass, and this was also evident in both years of data collection for the sand root zone. The wide range of quality produced by the different fertilizers and rates on sand is fairly evident here in this photo. I've showcased the high plot rates of ammonium sulfate in blue and the high plot rates of calcium nitrate in red. Differences in chlorophyll index were significant for both 2008 and 2009 on the sand green. The interaction between rate and date is presented here. On the y-axis, we have the chlorophyll index on a scale of 0 to 999, and on the x-axis, we have our application dates of fertilizer. The black error bars are associated with the middle nitrogen rate treatment, so that we can best see where differences are evident. It is evident that as the nitrogen rate increases, so does the chlorophyll index of the turf. Coming out of winter, the fertilizer rates show the largest differences. In late spring, chlorophyll indices increase, but soon thereafter decrease during the summer stress period. And Wisconsin's late summer and early fall were milder than usual, and that is evident where the chlorophyll indices increase, but the drop in at the end of the graph is evident from our cooler fall temperatures. And if we were to examine a quality ratings by data interaction for sand of 2009, the quality ratings followed a similar seasonal pattern. For both 2008 and 2009, there were fertilizer rate by date and fertilizer type by date interactions on quality for the soil green. Fertilizer rate by date showed the trend of increasing nitrogen rates, giving us higher quality ratings. And presented here is the fertilizer type by date interaction, which includes our main focus, the type of fertilizer used. Well, on the y-axis, we have quality on a 1 to 9 scale. And along the x-axis, we again have our fertilizer application dates. As with the chlorophyll data presented earlier, quality ratings follow a seasonal trend of starting out quite low in the spring, followed by an early summer spike. And then with the midsummer stress period, they do drop, but they don't drop below acceptable quality, as we saw in sand. Late summer was a little mild for us, so we see a spike in the quality ratings for all types of fertilizer, and then followed by our warm late summer, and then the quality ratings increasing in the fall. It's interesting that the least acidifying fertilizer, calcium nitrate, shown with the red line, had the highest rating at both peaks. While it did achieve the highest rating in these periods, this was not sustainable, as seen with the calcium nitrate's ratings falling the most between the peaks. Repeated measures analysis for all 2009 quality ratings found no differences between the fertilizer treatments. Differences between treatments, as I said, were less evident on soil, and more plots were of an acceptable level of quality. And again, we have the high rates of ammonium sulfate outlined in blue and the high rates of calcium nitrate outlined in red. As mentioned before, we measured shoot density 3 times per year, late spring, summer, and fall. Shown here, we have the summer sampling period for both sand and soil in 2008 and 2009. For 2008, sand and soil, as the nitrogen rate increases, which is highlighted right now in green, so does the shoot density. The higher nitrogen rate always produced a denser turf stand than the low nitrogen rate, and the middle nitrogen rate depended on the root zone. For 2009, sand and soil, the trend of higher nitrogen rates producing denser turf continued. And for both root zones, each rate was significantly better than the one previous. Nitrogen type effects on clipping yield varied across the years and across the root zones. Highlighted right now is the sand results. There were significant differences between fertilizer types for sand in 2008. It was interesting that the highest clipping yield did not mirror the treatment with the highest quality rating. In 2008, for sand, quality ratings increased as the acidity of the fertilizer increased, meaning ammonium sulfate had the highest quality rating and calcium nitrate had the lowest quality rating. But for 2008 sand, ammonium nitrate had the highest clipping yield with 0.93 grams per meter squared per day. This clipping yield quality discrepancy kind of tells us that the more acidifying ammonium sulfate produces a better putting surface without the associated extra growth usually matched with a better nitrogen source. For the soil, the differences between fertilizer types was not present in 2008, but was in 2009, with urea having the highest clipping yield of 5.29 grams per meter squared per day. Well, not directly comparable because they are technically separate trials. The clipping yield on soil was always higher than the clipping yield on sand. So when velvet bentgrass is grown on sand with a pH of 7.8 in the Midwest, higher acidifying fertilizers result in acceptable putting turf quality. An annual nitrogen rate of 243 kilograms per hectare using ammonium sulfate or urea is necessary to provide acceptable putting green turf quality. Lower rates of all fertilizer types resulted in unacceptable turf quality ratings. Velvet bentgrass grown on a native Midwest soil with a pH of 7.0, it sustained acceptable quality ratings across fertilizer types and throughout most of the growing season. The nitrogen rate of 243 kilograms per hectare was again necessary for acceptable putting green turf quality and was affected by seasonal weather changes. Velvet bentgrass can be grown in the Midwest at acceptable levels of quality when acidifying fertilizers are used. Nitrogen rate of 243 kilograms per hectare or higher is necessary when the turf is young, as seen with our now 3-year-old soil and sand greens. Skogling in 1975 found nitrogen fertility requirements to drop from 340 to 243 kilograms per hectare as his greens aged from 3 to 5 years old. By today's standards, young velvet bentgrass may not be a low-input turf, but a nitrogen rate of 243 kilograms per hectare, comparable to the nitrogen rates for today's creeping bentgrasses, is necessary to sustain acceptable playing conditions for velvet bentgrass grown on sand and soil greens in the Midwest.
Okay. Time for a few questions.
Did you have any problems with creeping bentgrass invasions? And then if you did you see any differences between your treatments?
Question was, did we see any problems with creeping bentgrass invasion? The only creeping bentgrass invasion we saw were from neighboring plots, so it kind of stayed around the borders. And when that occurred, it never got to the levels of affecting the turf grass quality of the of velvet bentgrass.
Did you ever notice any particular diseases that would negatively affect the velvet?
Question was, do we ever notice any diseases? Over the past 2 years, which I've been presiding over this, we've only had one incidence of dollar spot outbreak. And other than that, we treat preventatively for snow mold, but one incidence of dollar spot.
John? Did you evaluate your pHs at the end of the study?
No, we haven't yet. That could be done. We're still doing ratings at this point. And we do have soil test results annually throughout the study, beginning at establishment.
How is the ball roll impacted by the nitrogen rates?
How is the ball roll affected by nitrogen rates? We haven't fully analyzed that data yet, and from preliminary what I see, the low nitrogen rates did have a little higher ball roll, but the high nitrogen rates were still in the acceptable range, but full analysis will be completed this fall, winter.
Couple more.
Other questions?
Go ahead.
Do you calculate LSD values for interactions because SAS doesn't provide that?
The question was, how do we calculate the LSD values? We used repeated measures data, or repeated measures analysis, to compare across all the rating dates, and that's where we got our LSDs from.
One more back there.
You comment on the condition of the turf at the initiation of the trial. Since it was a fairly young establishment, would you characterize the turf at the beginning as, you know, very high quality or moderate quality, or still kind of immature and young and thin?
Jim's question was on the quality of the turf grass at the beginning of the trial. I was not on board at the time. I first saw it in 2008, and at that point it was about a year and a half old, and the turf grass quality was comparable to what we would consider acceptable in the Midwest, and it still is today. But as far as the first year, I myself did not witness that. Although we do have the data from 2007, which wasn't presented today.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.